Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
לגמרי לגמרי מוריד את הכובע מלאכים בכיכר ממריאים חליל הקסמים מנגן בוסנובה איך אתם לא איך אתם לא רואים באוויר הרוטט ממשק הכנפיים התוכן מחזיק את הכלי בבית התמחורים מגישים צהריים נור במרק שלי כל הדרך אליי שלום good morning good noon actually this is Ilan Azulay and excited to be here this is the Abracadabra create what you speak and the song that we heard is one of the important musicians in Israel, Mati Kaspi, and words were by Dani Robas, composition by Mati Kaspi, and a reflection in the mirror shows me my truth, a reflection of everything that we experience, everything that we see, every person that we encounter is a reflection of us. So, I'm sitting here with Sam Hasson.
Hasson is good.
Hasson. Sam Hasson actually.
We're in America now.
Yeah. He's a great friend of mine. And
thank you for having me, Ilan.
Oh, thank you for
it's
having
a pleasure.
Me too. He's the owner of the LA Talk Radio.
And I'm sitting here for a missing guest who's missing in action.
He's missing in action. No, nothing.
So, well, I'm helping you on your maiden flight.
Yes, exactly. No, yeah. It's all good. It's all good. I want to start with a prayer, an acceptance. I hereby accept on myself the due commandment, O love thy fellow human, the same way I love myself. הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של אהבת ולרעך כמוך. This is a prayer that was written by Rabbi Zalman Schneur, the founder of the Hasidut of Chabad, the movement of Chabad, the Jewish movement of Chabad.
Hasidism.
Hasidism. Hasidism. Jew funny.
Yeah.
And it's really it's the intention is to reflect, especially in the morning. This is a prayer that we say in the morning as we get up. And the intention is really to look at somebody and to look at ourselves and to create moments of beauty, of awe, that really can connect us to the other person. Engendering love to myself, to others, to the community, and eventually to the world. And so why in the morning? Because in the morning... Well, let's start with the night. When we go to sleep, it's like a reset button. We have a choice to hit a reset button. And then everything, we go to sleep. The dreams are a reflection sometimes of what happens in the day. And or it could be prophetic dreams or any kind of dreams. But it's kind of a reset. Mm. And when we get up in the morning, it's like the ocean that is in the morning is very flat. Mm. It's flat. It is... it's like a...
So you start with a blank slate in the morning. You start over.
Exactly. You start with a blank slate.
Yeah.
You start in the morning with a blank slate. And we choose, and we'll talk about, we choose What do we want for this day? So why do I have to say it out loud? Right? I could think about this. Yeah, I love this, I love that. I'm good, everything is good. But the importance is in the words that come out. In the words that come out that we can hear it back with our auditory systems. And why the words in Hebrew? And I say it specifically in Hebrew because the Hebrew letters are channels of divinity, channels of energy that flows down, that is based from early mysticism and early Kabbalistic wisdom, mm-hmm. that talks about how our words, how we create what we speak.
Right.
And this is what abracadabra is. So I think I asked you that in one of the shows. That
yeah, I didn't know until you told me.
Yeah, so abracadabra, mm-hmm. you know, we're used to hear it in magic shows, and abracadabra, poof,
right.
gone, right?
Right.
Well, abracadabra is in Aramaic, uh-huh. right? And it says, I create...
A very ancient language.
Very ancient language.
Yes.
Very ancient language. And
so why do you use that language in order to describe, you know, this whole thing about you create what you speak, right?
Why do I use what?
Why do you go to Aramaic instead of Hebrew or something?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting that you said it because, you know, it's the way of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about, oh, let's just go to a spiritual realm,
mm-hmm.
and let's focus on our spiritual realm and neglect this world and neglect where we live in.
Oh, okay.
The idea is to bring the spirituality.
Yeah.
The idea is to bring the spirituality.
Here come the guests.
Oh, there they are.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who they are yet. I'm not going to say who they are yet.
Okay. Have a seat, guys. And... I'll go in a few minutes, but just finish.
So, not just being stuck in the spiritual realm,
mm-hmm.
and not also be stuck in the materialistic realm, but it is really embedding the spirituality into the everyday. So, why do I say that? Abracadabra is used in a very loose terms.
Right,
many people don't know what it is because it has been embedded. In the daily practice, magic shows,
right,
and,
right.
You know, and although it's embedded in a magic show, it's really they're trying to create really what the word, the meaning of the word is.
Mm.
So they're trying to pull a rabbit out of the hat, right?
Right.
Well, that's also some of an abracadabra because I'm going to say, rabbit, get out of the hat,
right?
And
it
comes
happens,
out of the
hat. Right.
But let's take. What I want to do is to take that. That mundane term, that very loose term, and really take it back to the source,
mm.
and how do we, and take it back to the source and say, okay, where is it coming from? Why Aramaic? Because first of all, that's the origin,
right?
Of it.
Okay,
but then it's also what everybody understands,
right?
So it's to take everything that we are experiencing in our everyday,
mm-hmm.
and what is the deep, meaningful connection,
right.
to the words and to us. One of my teachers asked a very simple question, a very, very important question.
Right.
What is the meaning of life?
Right.
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 Well, the simple answer is to create meaning.
Yeah.
What's the meaning? We create meaning.
The meaning
everything.
Of life. So we actually create the meaning.
We create the meaning.
Right.
And what is meaning?
It's how you view it, right?
It's perception.
Right.
It's all perception. And this
right.
is the creation of our speech.
Gotcha.
It is all perception. It is all how we choose to be at the place where we are. And me sitting here is for me, for my personal story, is a great example.
Mm.
It's a great example for me. And I hope that over time, my story or what I bring will inspire.
Yeah.
And this is the whole point, to empower and to inspire and to say, you are the creator
mm-hmm.
of you.
Right.
Are you godly? Yes, you are.
Mm.
Are you godly? Of course you are. You
right.
and you and you.
Right.
Why? Because this is a contraction
mm-hmm.
of the infinite light.
Mm.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah. Are you sure you want to continue talking to me, though, because you have guests?
Yeah.
You sure? Because I have to leave soon.
Oh,
Hold on.
Okay.
We'll turn on your mics in a second. So it is Father's Day, and we're
it
waiting.
It is Father's Day.
Yeah. But go on. Just finish your.
If you need to leave, I relieve you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so at least introduce your new guest.
I will describe our connection later, but in here I have Heather Ann and Ariana.
Nice to meet you. You guys need to get close to the mic so everybody can hear you.
And so Heather Ann.
3 and 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
relieved.
You are relieved.
Thank you. Well, I learned a lot in the 15 minutes, and I'm here to say Elon's been on my show several times, and the man's got great ideas, very spiritual, and very smart, and I think you guys are going to enjoy this show and future episodes of the show. And thank you for having me. I'm not going to plug my show. It's not necessary.
Go ahead.
Glad to meet the ladies and everything. And, you know, maybe we'll talk after the show.
Show.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
So I have the guests that I have here. And I have Heather Ann Azulay Lomax. Well, I kind of gave in something.
Oh.
Hello,
yes,
Heather.
What's the story? Hello. So, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
And birthday.
That's true. Yeah, it is my birthday. It is my birthday today. I'm moving a city code.
You are?
Yes, I'm 50 today.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a big...
It's a big shift.
A good shift, though.
Everything is for the good.
Yes.
This is the thing, you know, in the last 3-4 years, been a lot of shifts that appeared on the surface when they happened, not to be constructive, but they're very constructive. So everything that happens is for the good. As Rabbi Lubavitch, Rabbi Schneerson said, there is good and there is the opposite of good, because in the opposite of good there is always good. He tried to use less the word bad because of the vibrational quality of these words. So Heather Ann is a talented, super talented.
Formerly Michael Ann.
She's a super talented. She's listed
Azulay.
She's listed the top 10 country singers in the U.S.
Well, that
I read that.
Is it?
Yes, I read that. I think it was, I don't know if it was Billboard, it was one of the music magazines.
No, I mean, I think it's, I was top 10 Americana artists in Los Angeles.
In the U.S.
Whatever you want to say, I don't want to knock anyone.
No. She has a great voice and great rhythm. And Heather Ann is my former wife.
And dun, dun, dun.
So obviously... The plot thickens. And to her right is Ariana Azulay, and she is my daughter. Hi, Ariana.
Hi.
I'm so glad you made it.
Yeah. Happy birthday and happy Father's Day.
Thanks, babe. And, so I'll come to that. Why are you guys here? And so it ties into what I wanted to talk about today, and you're welcome to join in.
Okay.
Yes. connection and communication, and we talked about words earlier. Why words are important? You know, sometimes I remember myself in early years. I was. I would say, oh, these are only words. These are only words. But actually, words are very important. Words have vibrational quality. And I don't know if you know, there was this experiment that was done by this Japanese professor, Masaru Emoto. And what he did experiment with water. And water cells carry memory. So what he did, he took two bottles of water, containers of water, in two separate sides of the room, and put speakers near them. And one bucket of water, he just played words of praise, words of love, beautiful music, classical music, and in the other jar of water, he played hard metal music, words of discouragement, words of hate, negative words. And the fascinating thing happened. In the first jar of water, the water turned into beautifully shaped crystals, geometrical shapes.
Wow.
Of crystals. And in the other pile of water, they all turned to a brown splat, just like. So think about this. If our body has more than 80% water, how do we talk to ourselves? And when we talk to ourselves and when we judge ourselves, what do we create? We get up in the morning. This morning I was saying this prayer that was by the rabbi who founded the Chabad, Zalman Schneo. He said, "Hareini mekabel al atzmi mitzvat ואהבתה לרעך כמוך." I accept on myself every morning this commandment or this utterance. Utterance, is that the right word?
Yeah, you can say.
I'm a foreigner, I can mess up, right? So, what do I accept on myself? So the words in the beginning of the morning are setting the tone for everything. For everything that we create, for everything that we choose to create. And by the way, if I would love to hear you, if you have any questions, any comments, you out there over the seas, and if you're listening in Israel, in LA, the number is 818-602-4929. And so the connection and the communication. So Heather Ann sits here today. And our connection started before, I knew her as Michael Ann. But This is our transformation. This is our shift, and I'm very happy that our connection has bettered,
improved. Yes,
improved. Mm-hmm. Improved, and we do a little seder, and we do some dinners, and this is a and I wanted to bring this as an encouragement, because many times that I talk to people, and from my personal experience, somebody says something and we get stuck in the moment and the heat of the moment and succumb to our bodily emotions. And when we're there, we don't really see the big picture. The emotions, the anger, the frustrations, the bodily existence where we are, just overtakes really who we are. We're not our thoughts, because you thought 5 years ago different things. Mm-hmm. We're not our feelings, because feelings shift. We're not our body, but we are inhabiting. We are the spirit that we are, the soul and spirit that inhabit this body. It's like a car. It's a driver in a car. So the car is our body. We are in the car. And so I have to be careful not to go off on a tangent, because I'm going to lose myself sometimes.
Well, like you were saying, Ilan, you know, the body is made mostly of water. And if you have negative thoughts or you are overcome by emotion, that negativity basically is being, you know, mm-hmm. transmitted throughout your body.
That's right.
It's carried throughout your body.
That's right. So when we have our mind over the matter, when we take our soul, according to our soul is, if you know, the pineal gland is behind our soul is in the pineal gland. So if we are practicing, and it's just a practice, it's just like we go to the gym, it's practicing that when we are getting into a certain state, certain negative state that doesn't improve our life, it's between the time that we get into that state until we realize that we are in that state. That is the window. Because we are going to, you know, I'm not here to say, oh, we are not going to go into these places, or we don't get upset, or we don't feel sad.
Right.
We do. It's like a pendulum. We can't stay still. Mm. It's a movement. Everything is movement. Everything is motion. Sound is movement. Sound is vibration. So when we get to that place, it's how long from the time that we get to that place until we realize that we are in that place. So at first it could be a whole day, and it's not coincidental that in Kabbalah and in Judaism it says, don't let the sun go down on your problems. So if you, in your relationship, you have something going on, letting the sun go down on your problems, it's you are actually hitting a reset button when you go to sleep with the dent in the car, so to speak. So it is when we have that to do everything, and to do everything that we can, and not let this egoic state of me overtake really who we are, the embodiment of the Creator, the embodiment of the creation, the embodiment of God, or everybody can call it differently, it's okay. So from that moment until we realize that is the part that is crucial, and when, as we practice this, the time gets shortened. So if in the beginning it was 2 days and we let the sun go down on the problems, and then it becomes a day, and then it becomes 7 hours, and then 6 hours, and suddenly we are using time to measure our success, right?
Mm-hmm.
Time is a funny thing, but that's for a different time. So it's the time. It's the period of time between when we are getting into this place and any time that we are in that place of negativity. We will remember that any negative situation, doesn't matter whose fault, whose story, who created that, it doesn't matter. It removes us from our center. Yeah, it removes us from our center. And what is ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? Love your friend, love your fellow as thyself. It's not just how do you experience that, Heather? If I'm putting you on the spot.
Love your friend as you love yourself. You know, I think the irony is that you can only love your friend if you are healed yourself. Because, this is going to get a little deep, because if you're not healed yourself and you are just wanting to please your friend, you do it from a different motivation rather than it coming from a genuine place.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's important to have a sense of self. Love your friend, as you said in Hebrew, you know, love your neighbor, they say, you know, as you love yourself, neighbor being friend.
Yeah.
So it's important to heal whatever traumas that you have in your past and to go and to work on yourself, however that, you know, looks to you. And to heal the wounds and the patterns, or to address them, so that you can help others and come from a place of genuine love and genuine
Amen.
Care.
Amen. Yeah, for sure. For sure. But, you know, we don't completely heal.
No, but it's a process. I'm not saying, obviously, we're not, like, perfect. But I'm saying, I think that if we come from a place of trying to address ourselves, that we can more genuinely appreciate people and not come from, because I guess I'm speaking, too, from my history as an empath. I would always felt like I needed to help other people, but, you know, it was out of obligation. It was out of a sense of obligation rather than coming
from what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
Yeah. And this is many times how we enter connections and relationships.
That's right.
I feel that while everything happens for a reason, and I I know that and I believe that, and we see it all over. Everything happens for a reason and for the benefit of our own journey, so we can benefit others. Even the connection that you and I had and have, but the way that it started kind of, if we look at it today, we can say it was off kilt, kind of, but it was everything as it was supposed to be. Now, granted, we cannot change the past, but, and it brought us to a place within our own journey, to heal within our own journey. I was in a place, I grew up, my dad was a chief of police of Tel Aviv. And so I grew up...
Your grandfather.
Your grandpa.
Saba.
Your Saba.
Saba.
I was the chief of police. And so I grew up in a very strict environment. And so my perception of how things are to be was because how I grew up. Things have to be because you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. And this is we all are. We all are born into somebody else's story. And it is our journey to break that story, to create our own story. And when we are in a place of harmony in ourselves and we find the person that we can harmonize with, we can create beautiful music. Mm-hmm. And a beautiful dance. And so I grew up in a place of that you need to do this. This is what you're expected of. And I believe that. And at a young age, I entered this. I didn't want to do. I decided to talk about really stuff that happened in my life instead of just. Going around, but I didn't want to do anything with Judaism or anything with my family or anything with where I come from, because of what I went through. And so I joined a movement, something like Messianic Jews, like Jews for Jesus and stuff like that. And
you were also, when I met you, you had been in that. Is it I Am or something where you're...
Do
you remember that?
That was a little before. That's right. There was a workshop that I think kind of was ahead of their time at that time. Consciousness wasn't really evolved. People were not as conscious as they are today. So I was in that place. And it started kind of stirring things up in me. But I really didn't understand why, who, or who's against who, or what was going on. And in my pattern of doing what I'm supposed to do, I went into that movement, and that's actually where I met. At that time, I met Michael Ann, Heather, there in Israel, mm-hmm. And so our connection started really from. I talk for myself, but I tell me if I'm. We weren't really. I wasn't really connected. To myself, to say the least. Not that now I'm fully, but listen, after 50 years, you got to get something out of it.
Right. Well, you were like 20-something.
21. I was 21, 22.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
True that.
Right? You're just starting out on a journey at that age.
How do you feel, Ariana? You are now in this age, and how do you feel about this?
Exactly how you feel, or you felt, I'm sure, because I feel kind of a little bit lost, like, I don't know, like, I feel like there's not enough time, even though I know there is, to figure out what I need to do and get it done, but, yeah.
Okay, no, that's great, but you are aware of it. You see, the kids of today, the kids that are born out in the 90s are crystal kids. They are evolved. They have their sense of evolution is greater than us, or maybe that we were born in the 60s. It's like the second, the third phase. You are like the third phase of, you know, the Kabbalah says that the age of Aquarius, consciousness will be available and knowledge will be vastly available. And it said it thousands of years ago. And when did that start? In 2012. And I remember listening in Boston. I lived in Boston for many years. Listening in Boston to NPR, and suddenly they start talking about yoga and about consciousness and awareness, and it was like, wow, it's starting, it's really starting, and you know, but many people are aware. The difference between awareness and consciousness many times is muffled. The awareness is, I'm aware that there is something on the table. When I'm conscious of something, oh, it's a bottle. So I'm giving it a language. And so, you know, at that time, I was aware that there is something bigger. And but when I remember myself talking to different entities and spirits and all the 13 Yeshuyot, how do you say Yeshuyot? All the 30s entities in me, because we're 13. Now it's number 7 speaking. It wasn't accepted at that time. The only thing that was accepted at the time is, watch out that the door doesn't hit you on the way out. There was no openness for self-discovery. So 5 years ago, so I joined that group, if you will, or movement, and then we got married and we moved to the U.S. and that was half of my life ago, 25 right? years ago, 26 years ago.
Wow, it's crazy.
It is. And we lived in Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh yeah,
the Great Midwest.
You know, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everything. And then five. But fast forward. I was in Boston and I started working on things. And I think 5 years ago I called you up, something like that. 5 years ago I called you up. You guys were in Boston, you and Itai.
Oh really?
My son Itai. Your anyway.
Your brother.
Your daughter. It's like getting confusing here, you know. And I called you, and I realized this wonderful upbringing, job or life that you gave the kids, because I wasn't there for your upbringings. We were visiting here and there. I would come to visit you in Kansas City or La La Land, and you would come to Boston. And we had for about 13, 14 years, we had a lot of...
War.
Exactly. Yeah. Our egos were my ego. I can talk about me.
You can, because on
she didn't have an ego. I'm sorry. It was
not
me.
That
it was
I don't have an ego, but my you know, and if anybody is listening out there who's divorced and who's a mother, hopefully you are coming from a place of wanting what's best for your children. And wanting to nurture them emotionally and to make sure that they're protected and cared for. And so in all honesty, that is really where I was coming from, was a place of wanting my children to be happy and to acclimate to things, because it was, right? Mm. You would fly to Boston to go out to visit your dad. And when you moved here, you know, the kids would go over to your place for a while when you lived
when I was
California.
In California. Yeah.
So it was a big adjustment for the kids, and I just wanted what was most comfortable for them, because that is a big life change.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right, and this is when I work with my work is mentoring and coaching and spiritual mentoring for people who really desire to bring out their power, to reconnect to their power. And one of the person I work with is actually somebody who is going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. And while wanting to have the best for the children, both sides do. The only difference is that one side thinks that the other is wrong, and one side thinks that the other is wrong. And the truth is, they're both right. Mm. Both sides are right. It's recognizing that there is no wrong in either end. Both sides see just a different perception. And the perception will come from the place that you inhabit in yourself. So if you are not healed and you're feeling continuing with patterns, and the egoic self, the me, how does it serve me, is overtaking, then I believe that this perception is right. And so, so I called.
I don't know if I agree with that.
So do you know or do you not know?
I'm saying.
Do you agree or do you not?
I don't know that I think that is true, that we both, that people come from what they believe is the correct perspective. Does that mean that it's always coming from an egoless place? No, it doesn't.
Egoic. Not egoless, egoic place.
Okay, egoic place.
Yeah.
All right, so what I'm saying is, you know, most mothers that I know of, because they've raised their children, are in tune with them emotionally, spiritually, physically. They were in our wombs for 9 months. So they're, to me, you know, and I guess what I'm saying is, and I'm speaking up for the mothers, that their husbands, I feel like a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, there are several fathers that I know of out there that it became a game of, you know, you're not going to emasculate me, you know, I am going to win in this fight. And it was more, you know, a jockeying for position than really finding out what was truly best for that child.
No, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, that is true. But the issue of the well-being of the child for this is almost like a separate issue. It's like you have three people here. So you have the person who believes A, let's say the male, the masculine, the person who believes B, the feminine, and yes, the feminine has extra bina, has extra understanding. And it is true that the connection, the undeniable connection, stronger connection that the mother has with the child, because this is how we are created.
Well, look at the story in Solomon where this woman said, this is my child.
That's right.
And
That's right.
Did the mother say? No, don't cut the child in half. You can have the baby. And because it came from a selfless position.
See what I'm saying? No, I totally
agree. Is every mother like that? No, obviously not. Is every father, you know, not interested in the well-being of their child and is more concerned about themselves? I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying that that it is a possibility, that I've seen it with several of my friends, with my sister. So.
But you see, the thing is that we are, when you have counseling, when you have two people that are coming, that are going through divorce, right? The first base is, it's in positive psychology, and it is in Kabbalah also. It is in the Tanya. You are right, and you are right. You both are right. Let's leave the child out for a second, because like we talked about love, how can you give love to even your child when you yourself are not tuned in to the things that really matter?
So what you're saying is that it's based on your own reality. Each of your own realities and your perspectives.
Exactly.
Right?
First off, so when we come from that place and we start peeling the layers that created who you are today, to see where the traumas or where the things that took you out of yourself, where are those things needing attention, when we start nurturing these things in ourselves, then the perception starts shifting. And perception is like going to the gym for your imagination. It's like a muscle, but now you're practicing a different kind of muscle. I want to say that there is a Rabbi Dressler had a very, very great video on YouTube about how does a crab grows. A crab is a soft animal in a hard shell. So when it grows, it becomes uncomfortable. So it goes under a rock where there are no predators, shells off the shell, and grows a new shell. If it was for humans, as like we see here, you're uncomfortable, you take Prozac. You take, put away the, don't pay attention to what's going on with your body. Here, take this pill. It's like becoming like, it became like a pill culture.
Yeah.
Like there's even a sentence, take a chill pill. It's everything is a pill culture. And this is when the lobster grows, when it's
crab.
Uncomfortable. The crab, sorry. No, lobster. Lobster.
Is I'm it a lobster?
Lobster. Lobster. I'm talking about the lobster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. I'm glad I said the disclaimer of being when we are uncomfortable. Mm. When we are uncomfortable, it is when we grow. And it was very hard for me to make that phone call when the kids were there, but I really wanted to, at that time, what I said, and that I feel that was really the starting point of developing something different. We start talking on the phone again, and is to recognize the wonderful upbringing of Itai and Ariana and how they have came to be, and everything is for the
thank
good.
You by the way for that.
Oh,
I
welcome.
Mean that
this is now on air, this is official on air.
Well, and I want to point something out, Ilan, which is important in the whole idea of communication, and especially because divorce gets so messy. I appreciate the fact that you humbled yourself and did something that was noble and that was, to me, a righteous thing to do, which is to say, you know what? I appreciate, you know, your effort and the work that you've put in to raise the children. And so I think, you know, so many times maybe men feel like they're going to... I don't know, that they will lessen themselves in order, you know, to humble themselves. But the reality is you're actually a stronger person for doing that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I thank God for that. It's thank you, and I because it was process and the shift. And so I'm glad that you are here and that we are having this. And we are almost
on thing. Your birthday,
on my birthday,
and Father's Day.
It's
Father's
a creation, Day. You know. I it was very hard, but it was a choice. I've for many years I've been in a place of sabotaging myself, and enough with that. So thank you. And we're funny thing. We're almost getting to the end. I want to. Do you want to plug in your website? I want you to listen to her music. She has a wonderful voice.
She does.
Thank you. It's Heather Ann Lomax, HEATHERANNE Lomax, LOMAX .com.
Yes.
.com.
Yes.
Ta-da. Yeah. So.
I also want to say something, you know, because honestly, Ilan, I never thought after the many years that we were married and divorced, because we've been divorced, obviously more years than we have been married, I never thought that we would come to a place of peace. And I'm sure you didn't feel
I didn't
either.
I didn't think that at that time, but that was at that
so
time.
So I think I want to encourage anyone who's listening to this that, you know, miracles can and do happen. And right?
Yes.
And you can, especially if you're seeking, because you know you can't remain, if you remain in the same energy and you do the same things over and over, right, that you're going to have the same reaction. If you change your energy, that's going to shift things.
Exactly.
Right.
Absolutely. And you are radiating. So when you are creating what you desire, what you choose, you are radiating and sending your energy out to the world, and you go out and people pick up on this. And guess what? You're going to attract the people that your energy, that reflects your energy. If you go out and you are in a negative space, your energy will attract these people. So I want to encourage you. Thank you, Heather, for coming. Thank you, Ariana.
Thank
I
you.
Love you.
And thank you,
I love you, Heather, too. Thank you for coming. And I want to encourage you to be the light and let your light shine your way. And If you go to one of the things that I, one of the important things that I work with in healing and working with people is sound and vibration, and I work with the Tibetan bowls and music and spoken word. And if you go to facebook.com/bodysoulsound, you're more than welcome to check that out. And I want to finish with, I want to thank you for coming. I want to finish off
thank
with.
You. Yeah. And thank you.
You're welcome. I want to finish off with another friend of mine, an Israeli musician, Nathan Cohen, a wonderful musician. And this song is Me'achorei HaKaftorim, the person who is dealing with the buttons. And the buttons in the studio. Buttons in life, buttons in studio, you know. And while the others are playing the music. Wonderful song. Thank you, and I will see you next week. Shalom ve'leitot.
חשופים